And so for one of the only times on deputation, I get to come back and see familiar faces, because most of the time you have a mission conference and then you're gone, or you have one service and you're gone. So it's very nice to be able to see familiar faces and to be back. As he said, my name is Beth Johnson, and I'm going to North Africa out of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Dawsonville, Georgia, and with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. I always like to start off with my salvation testimony, because that's the greatest thing that's ever happened, right? But I was saved when I was 5 years old, and I know a lot of people ask, how can you really know that you were saved when you were so young? Well, there's a quote that I've adopted as my own, and I like to share it whenever I get to give my testimony. And it says that the Bible is so simple that a five-year-old child can understand it. Yet great theologians can spend a lifetime of learning and never even scratch at its depth. So I'm thankful as a five-year-old child I was able to understand and put my faith and trust in Christ. And I'm thankful that I grew up in a Christian home. My mom was the one who led me to the Lord, and I was always in church, and we were in a missions-minded church. We gave to missions, prayed for missionaries. We had missionaries even in our home. And all growing up, I remember hearing about missionaries and seeing their slides. And yes, I was actually young enough to remember slides, and or old enough. And I remember thinking, okay, well, that's neat. And that was about it. And it wasn't until I had the opportunity to go on the mission field myself that God really showed me what missions was all about. I was able to go to Peru in South America when I was in college. And for the first time, the Lord really worked on my heart the fact that maybe I could do that. For the first time, the Lord just put planted that thought in my heart. Because there are some missionaries who go and live in a hut with no running water, but not all do. These missionaries lived in a city, and they do basically what we do here in the States, just in another country. And I know there's lots more to it than that, but for the first time, the Lord's like, you could do this. So I was a little intimidated by that thought, but I began to pray about it off and on. And after college, I taught fifth grade for 2 years, and everybody knows there are three perks to being a teacher: June, July, and August. Well, the Lord used those in my life to get me to go back to the mission field. I overheard a friend telling another friend to pray about a mission trip, and the Lord pricked my heart about it. Yes, I was eavesdropping, I guess. But the Lord pricked my heart about praying because I had June, July, and August, and I could go for an entire summer. And if 9 days in Peru did so much to get me to pray about missions, what could 6 weeks do, or 8 weeks, or 3 months? 2 weeks later, after I started praying, 2 weeks, a missionary to North Africa was at our church preaching and told about a 6-week internship to North Africa. And the Lord just gripped my heart and said, that's where I want you. And of course, that's when I began to argue. But Lord, it's hot. I don't like hot. I like my air conditioning. And people up north think this is funny because I'm from Georgia. The only time I'm in the hot is when I'm walking from my house to the car, or the car to the store. It's not like that in Morocco. And then my second argument was, it's a Muslim country. That's scary. I had in my head this vision of women, all in black, head covering, veiled, whole bit, trailing 10 steps behind their husbands. The call to prayer sounded 5 times a day with everybody stopping their cars, getting out in the street to pray, the whole bit. And that was a little scary to think about it. But the Lord didn't change those things, but he changed me, and I got to go. And those things that I thought were going to be a problem, they weren't. For one, it is hot, but they have a breeze where I was because we were on the coast, so it wasn't too bad, and you do get used to it. It was still hot, but you just deal with it. And the second thing is, it's still a Muslim country, but it's not like what I was expecting at all. In Saudi Arabia, that's where the women have to wear all black, can't drive, the whole bit. Morocco, it's very different. In fact, in Morocco, these ladies are some of the most colorful ladies I've ever seen in my life. Because one of our first assignments was to ride a bus for 6 to 8 hours through the city. And we got to talk to people, we got to see the people, interact with them. And these ladies, they had the loudest dresses I've ever seen. From zebra print to lime green to roses, whatever they wanted, that's what they got. And they matched their shoes to their dress, to, if they wear head covering, to that. Very bright. They're colorful, they're hospitable. While we were on the bus, we got to finally talk to people once the bus was full and there was only one seat next to the crazy American. They would sit next to me and I was able to talk to some of them, and we got their email addresses, they gave us their phone numbers, and we got invited to their house for dinner. Can you imagine being on a bus? And I'm from Atlanta, so if you're on the bus in Atlanta going to Braves game and somebody's like, hey, why don't you just come to my house for dinner next week? You'd think they're crazy. Over there, that's normal. They're just that friendly, that's hospitable. And the Lord just used that day so much in my life just to show me that, yes, they're Muslim, but yes, they're people. And the difference is that they've been deceived their entire lives. That they've, and you'll see in the video, the first thing a newborn infant hears is a lie against the Bible, against Christianity. And so that's what they hear from the time they're born. And if I would have been born in Morocco, there's a 95% chance I would never, ever hear a clear presentation of the gospel even once. And that's a staggering statistic. And it just blows my mind that with the technology, with airplanes, that these people still haven't heard. Yet back in Paul's day, almost everybody did, or they did. And the Lord used that day so much just to give me a greater burden for these people, to show me that they're people, first and foremost, who God loves. And so we went through this trip, and by the end, the missionary family who were the lead missionaries asked if I'd be willing to go back and work with them. Of course, my arguments came back, but Lord, 6 weeks without air conditioning is one thing. But to live without it all the time? Ooh, I don't know about that. And then secondly, it's still a Muslim country. Single girl, missionary, Muslim country don't usually go together. But that's when the Lord began to bring back to my mind some of the things that we did. There was a group of girls and a group of guys who went, and you know that a Muslim country is going to be different. And you know that the men and women are very separated, and you know that they're more conservative, but sometimes we don't fully understand all the implications. One thing is the men and women lead very separated lives. They still have the remnants of a lot of arranged marriages, and they still have a lot of arranged marriages, so they don't marry for love, for companionship. They marry to have a family. And so the men, they go off and sit in their tea places and talk about people who walk by. And the ladies will either go shopping or go to each other's houses and watch their soap operas, which are awful, awful. But they rarely interact with one another. And in fact, for a man just to go up to a lady on the street who's not her relative to talk to her, it's considered a shuma. Shame is what they call it. And the same thing for a lady to go up to a man on the street, they just don't talk to one another. It's just not something they do. And so while we were there, as a group of girls, we were able to go up to some of these ladies who did speak English, and we were able to give our testimony and witness to them. And so we were able to do that, I think, 2 or 3 times, because it's a little hard to find a person who speaks English enough to be able to witness to them in Morocco, but we found a few. And so when I was pondering, you know, well, Lord, what could I do in a Muslim country, Lord brought back to my mind those ladies. And he brought the thought to my mind that if I wouldn't have been there, would those ladies have gotten to hear the gospel? I don't know. And so that's when the Lord worked on my heart about going back to work with these ladies. Because whereas a man can't just walk up to these ladies on the street to witness to them, I can. So the Lord's opened up a door for me to go back and work with these ladies. The main thing I'm going to be doing is working for evangelism with these ladies, discipleship, and then to train them to do the same. And it's a unique ministry, it's different, but I think it's needful. I know you've heard the quote, the hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. So what could happen in North Africa if these ladies were to get saved? It's an amazing possibility, and I'm excited about what the Lord could do in North Africa. And I do have a little bit different way to get into Morocco, because Morocco is a Muslim country, it's closed. You can't enter as a missionary. So I'm actually not gonna live in Morocco to reach Moroccans. I'm going to leave that to the video to show you. And that way it'll keep you in the edge of your seat and you won't fall asleep. But I do have an amazing opportunity that's come up recently that I could go ahead and begin language school in Morocco as soon as January. And Morocco is a little bit cheaper. So instead of where I'll be at one day in Spain, it's going to be a lot cheaper and I can go ahead and learn the language. And it's an amazing opportunity. And so that now that's my biggest prayer request, is that I could get to Morocco in January or soon after as possible. So I ask that you would pray with me about that. And I'm part of a team called Project North Africa, so I'm not going to be by myself. I'm going to be working with missionaries Tyler and Gretchen Masters most closely, but there's also other members on the team, and they've already seen so many people get saved and baptized through this ministry. They've already seen one church established in one city. They're going to be starting another one in October in the capital city, and it's just amazing to see what the Lord has done in a Muslim country through just a few people. And one thing about the Muslim people is their religion is very, I guess, mysterious to us. That's why on the table back there, I have an Islam for Dummies book, because I know that I'm a dummy, needed to use some of that. So if you want to take a look at it and just find out a little bit about what they believe, it's very interesting. They are very much works-based, and they have 99 names for Allah, but not one of them is love. They don't know the love of God. They don't know the security of having salvation in Him. And so I do have a song to play on the flute, and I know you'll know it. But that's one thing I like to play or sing about, is just about God's love and about what He can do through people who will just surrender themselves to go. And I'm praying that the song will be a testimony, not just now, but for many years to come. I do have a short DVD to show. It's only 3 minutes. You would never know I'm a Baptist because it's only 3 minutes. But a lot of it's made up of pictures I took while I was in Morocco or by friends' pictures. And one thing that I like to emphasize is just look into their eyes. Look into their faces, because no longer are these people just a random people group that I pray for anymore. They have names and faces and families and stories. And I would just ask that you would pray for them, that the Lord will soften their hearts to be able to hear the gospel, because, yes, the Muslims can be hard to reach, but I think they're searching. And so I pray that you will pray with me, that their hearts will be softened, and then pray for the new believers, that they will grow, because they undergo a lot more persecution than we do. And to hear some of the stories of what they've already been through, I know one preacher over there has been arrested, I think, 6 times, but the Lord's let him go every time to keep on going. And it's amazing what the Lord is doing through these new Moroccan believers and how bold they are, especially compared to how scared I am sometimes. But I would just ask that you look into their eyes, look into their faces, and remember that they're people who need the Lord. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Each morning, the first thing a Muslim hears in North Africa is this sound, the sound of the call to prayer. A solemn reminder that no matter what they do, how many times they pray, they can never have assurance of their eternal destiny. From the first words whispered into a newborn's ear, Muslims are indoctrinated against the Bible and Christianity. They need the truth. The Bible says that the truth will set them free. My name is Beth Johnson, and I'm a missionary to North Africa out of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Dawsonville, Georgia, and with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. I am thankful that I was saved at a young age. I grew up in a Christian home and graduated from Bible college. The summer of 2008, I had an opportunity to spend 6 weeks in North Africa. While there, God broke my heart for the Muslim people. As I watched person after person walk by, John 3:18 kept coming into my mind that they are condemned already who do not believe. North Africa is comprised of 5 countries, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean, bordering the Mediterranean Sea, and finally ending at the Red Sea. Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt have approximately 168 million people, 97% of which are Muslim. All 5 countries of Northern Africa are under Sharia law. A missionary cannot enter under traditional ways, but God has provided a back door. The way I will be gaining access to Morocco is through a small Spanish enclave situated on the coast of Morocco named Ceuta. In Morocco, it is illegal to convert anyone from Islam to any other religion, pass out literature on the streets, or even have a Bible in their own language, Arabic. Whereas in Ceuta, all these things are legal. By living here, I can work with the Moroccans who come into Ceuta, but I can also cross the border and work if needed. I will be working with missionaries Tyler and Gretchen Masters. My main emphasis will be on a ladies' ministry. One aspect of Muslim culture is gender relations. Men and women do not interact with one another the same way that they do in the States. They are much more conservative. A man speaking to a woman on the street, it can be considered inappropriate. Where a man cannot go up to these ladies and speak to them or witness to them, I can. God has provided a great door to reaching the Muslim people of North Africa. I ask that you keep me in your prayers as I seek to follow the Lord's leading to North Africa.